Y'all, you're struggling what to figure out to get for that special someone in your life this holiday season? Lord knows it burns me up every damn year. I feel like I'm going to screw it up, and oftentimes I do. But forget all the generic gifts. They can just create clutter. They might not even want it. It just lays around. No, no, no. Let us recommend you a gift that is truly as unique as your relationship with that special someone. It's a professionally recorded song crafted just for them. Yeah, you heard that right. It's true. Now, listen, you might hear that and be skeptical. What? I can get my own personally custom-made song based on my love for my loved one or whatever topic I want? Yes, you can, and we know because we have done it here at Putting On Airs. We got a song from Songfinch, our wonderful sponsor, and they made us their own custom-made rap song for POA, and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be completely honest. When I heard about this, I was a little somewhat skeptical. You know, I was like, This sounds cool, but that's got to be very hard to do. I don't know about the quality. We'll see how it is. Was absolutely blown smooth away when the final product came in. I couldn't believe how hard it goes, how hard it bangs, how hard it slaps, and all of the above. It hits so hard, and I haven't really stopped listening to it since. Cho, you agree with me on that?
I do agree with you, and not only do I agree with you, we've had a bunch of our buddies message us that was just like, you know, dude, that goes insanely hard. And I agree. And by the way, Songfinch walks you through a simple four-step process to create an original song. How do I know that it's simple? Because I was the one that handled it, right? And if I can do it, you can do it. All you got to do is tell them who the song is for, provide some personal details, and let them know the type of song you want. Then pick your favorite Songfinch artist or get matched with one, and they'll pour their heart out into writing, recording, and producing your original song in just 4 to 7 days, which y'all... That's crazy. Special add-ons can help you to commemorate the occasion even more, like a vinyl record of your song, one-of-the-kind art crafted from your lyrics, or adding your song to streaming services so you can give an even bigger surprise to your unsuspecting recipient. They are the only original music platform that guarantees you'll love your song, or they'll work with you until you do. They stand behind their community of over 1,000 artists and every original song they create, over 300,000 of them, by the way. So here you go. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song on Spotify for free, so you can listen to your new favorite song anywhere you go. Go to songfinch.com/POA and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free. That's a $50 value. Their offer is only available for our listeners at our special URL, songfinch.com/POA. That's songfinch.com/POA. And be sure to share your song with us. We want to hear it. Songfinch, good stuff. Hits.
Drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. We collected from our love of Downton Abbey. We collected, we found out we're both so fancy. Hey, what's the difference between rednecks and royal families? Only money, cause they both have sex with family. Ew.
Putting on airs. What other rednecks to talk about foreign affairs? Laughing so hard that we end up falling out our chairs. Sir Trey, Sir Corey, oh what a pair. High class topics with a redneck flair, oh yeah.
Two rednecks but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea. Putting on airs. Okay, it's Team Squirrel or Team Trey. Oh yeah, we keeping it basic. He thinks that the squirrels at Corey's mom's house are racist. And you know squirrels live in the same place for generations. So Trey, you better count your days and you better count your blessings. Cause all the squirrels that you ran over, that you think are nameless, faceless, their families are getting together and plotting on you from the attic and basement. So even though Corey is dumb, fat, and bald, he knows how to avoid drama. Don't get squirrels involved. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon'
gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs.
Sorry, what? I'm still thinking about you saying your gaping maw.
Yeah, well, it's appropriate for you
it
know,
is appropriate.
What
it
this
really,
mouth do? It
it really, it really tickled me. You often crack me up during ads, but the way that you said gaping maw and how I know that you like you meant it, like the way in your voice you were like very reluctantly going, my gaping maw,
like the disdain I have for my own mouth and its tendencies.
Your own maw.
Yeah, I'd be like that. Well, welcome back, Airheads. Here we are once again, the virtual Airstream Studios. We hope you liked that rare in-person edition last week featuring Tushar Singh. Realized after the fact that we didn't even, I don't think, mention Christmas at all. So we hope y'all had a hitting Christmas. Yeah, episode came out 3 days before Christmas, and we didn't do nothing but talk about the brutality of British imperialism, particularly on the Indian subcontinent. So,
well, that was
holidays.
Out of respect to Tushar and his people who I don't think celebrate Christmas, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we didn't.
No,
didn't
it was because we forgot.
That's why. Yeah, we just didn't think about when it would actually come out or anything. But anyway, hope your Christmas hit. Did want to, obviously, now you got New Year's coming up, but I'm going to go over some New Year's traditions that I didn't know about a little bit later. But we're also doing a little end of the year cleanup episode here. I know none of this makes sense to y'all. You don't know this, or maybe you do, but we have a document where we keep ideas for things to talk about in the show. And a lot of them are little one-off fun tidbit type things that, oh, we could talk about that up top. And we just oftentimes don't get to them or forget or talk about something else. And so we've accumulated a pretty massive list of these little topics, and we're not going to get through even half of them probably today, but we thought we'd just go through them and try to clean our dock up a little bit, because they wouldn't be in the dock if we didn't think they would hit for you. So it's just sort of random POA miscellanea, pretty much, we're going to get to in a little bit. But I wanted to tell you, Cho, about this. So I was trying to think today of what to talk about, and I hadn't put it together yet, because we're a little off on our schedule now because I'm going to be gone for the holidays and whatnot. So I hadn't put it together yet in my head that this was going to be like the New Year's episode. So I was trying to figure out like what I was going to talk about, and I just couldn't come up with nothing. Right. And I was already running behind, and I went to take a shower. Right. And I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll have an idea in the shower, right? Because that's a thing. People talk about that all the time. And I don't know why I would think that, because I don't think that's ever once happened to me. Not an idea that actually hits anyway.
Right.
My brain does do that thing that people are talking about. It's like you get in the shower and all of a sudden something comes to you.
Your subconscious.
My brain does that, but it's utterly useless horse shit. That is sometimes funny. So, like, this what happened today.
Works for me. I'll be honest. It really does work for me.
It apparently works for most people. It just naturally don't hit for me. Why would it? But it don't always not hit, as evidenced by what I'm about to tell you. It's just this was not actually helpful to me at all. Although I guess it was, since I'm talking about it on the episode now. But I was like, I don't know what the fuck to talk about, but I got to get in the goddamn shower. Maybe something will come to me in the shower. I get in the shower, get in there, I'm in there less than 30 seconds, and something just pops fully formed into my brain, right? Out of nowhere, my brain just delivers me something. And this is what it was. I heard this voice saying these words in my head, apropos of nothing, out of nowhere. Okay? It goes, hey, do you know Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch? That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. In that voice, I just heard that voice introduce Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch to someone. And I started dying laughing, you know, and then realized like how useless that is. It made me laugh even harder. So now I'm just in the shower, just sort of redoing that over and over and laughing at it. It's like, you know, in his Funky Bunch, you know, because you know how like Southern people, they'll say like
Yes.
You know, him and his bunch, you know, this yes. bunch or yeah. whatever they yeah. say that about like people's families right. and shit.
Yeah.
And saying that about Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch in that contest or in that context is super funny to me. But I had not been thinking about Marky Mark. I had not been thinking about any kind of Funky Bunch. I had not been thinking
Shower.
About, had not been thinking in that voice or anything. All of that just popped in my head out of nowhere. I say all of that. It's a sentence, but yeah. But it popped in my head funny. Out of nowhere, and it cracked me up.
Me and you both have that particular voice in our head, and mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it other than, like, it's half Southern Meemaw, half Southern gay man. Like, at yeah. the same time.
For sure.
We'll pretend it's more Meemaw because then we won't get in trouble for how often we think it. But, like, I also, it's not that, but I also often, I'll either have a sentence pop into my head that I think will be funny in that voice, or I hear something and I'll think it in the, like, it's stupid shit. Like, every now and then I'll just be like, oh, bitch, if I don't get some Doritos, I'm going to die, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's that voice. Me and you have also often extolled the virtues of, some of our favorite rap songs being sung in that voice hits yeah. really hard.
Recommend Shot You Down by Isaiah Rashad. If you want to look that yep. song up and then imagine it in that voice in your head, it hits pretty stuff. Hard for me and Corey anyway. It's almost like an established voice at this point, I would yeah. argue. Like, there's a... Like
Family Guy has a character. Family that sounds Guy has like a that.
Character who does that voice. I was just thinking about that earlier. After this popped in my head, I remember my favorite scene with that dude who pops up every now and then, super early on in Family Guy, one of the earliest seasons. It's the episode where Will Ferrell plays the Black Knight at a Renaissance fair or whatever.
I love
and he's on his horse or whatever, and he's like looking around, he's talking shit to the audience or something, and he just goes, "What's your fat ass doing here?" And it cuts to that character who's sitting on a obese donkey. So that's the joke. But Will Ferrell goes, "What's your fat ass doing here?" And it cuts to him and he goes, "He's my only means of conveyance." But I guess I do spoil him.
That is so
goddamn funny, dude.
As soon as you said one of my favorite scenes, I knew it was going to be that one. Because, yeah, not only is it probably the best scene with that particular character, but like, it's a pretty Hall of Fame classic yeah. Family Guy cutaway scene.
Yeah.
That I think they eventually, like, they did it so much they become parody of themselves. But like, man, them early cutaway scenes was flames.
But there's another one. I don't remember the full extent of it, but it's him. It's that character.
Something about Oreos?
Well, maybe the one I'm thinking of is in a grocery store line, and Peter's like behind him in line, and it's driving him crazy because he won't stop talking or whatever. And I remember the last line of it is he goes, "Anyway, hope you don't mind to pay in pennies." And he just pulls out. But anyway, it's just, but also Zach Galifianakis for a long time had a character that was his twin brother, Seth Galifianakis, yeah. where it would just be Zach pretending to be his own twin brother. But Seth, he talked like that. That was
yeah,
Seth's
he sure
voice.
Did.
That was Seth's
And then
voice.
Marty yeah. Huggins in the campaign yeah. was basically that character. That character also in Family Guy, and I can't remember the whole thing, but there was a scene where there was an AA meeting or something, and this dude gets up and just tells this like horrendous story of like why he's in AA and like everything that alcohol had made him do to his family. And I mean, it's just like fucking torture. And then it cuts back to that dude, and he's like the leader of the meeting, and he just goes, "Well, anyways, we got Oreos and punch because everyone likes a snack." And that was it. But it's like the voice does so much of the heavy lifting
of
on it.
Of course. But that's what I'm saying. Those episodes, those Family Guy episodes we're talking about, were like, bro, 25 years ago now. You know what I mean?
I know. That's
and
crazy.
I bet they were, his name is Mike something. One of the OG Family Guy writers is a Southern dude named Mike something. I'm pretty sure it's Mike. And I guarantee you that character was one of his creations, I imagine. But yeah, I wish I could remember his, but that Family Guy obviously was huge to me as a teenager and young adult, and especially
me too.
When somebody wanted to do comedy and stuff. I love that show so much. And I don't even remember how I found out that one of the writers was a Southern dude, but it hit for me forgot.
Yeah, of course.
It, you know.
Yeah, of course. You remember that period of time when stupid people for the record, thought that like you had to either like Family Guy or South Park, and you could not possibly like them both.
It's so weird how that shit happens sometimes. I was just talking about that on my Patreon this week because it was Keith Richards' birthday. And I mentioned how much
people
my dad,
be like, Led Zeppelin's better.
Well, I mentioned how much my dad loved the Stones, which he did. And I said he was also a Beatle maniac. And then I just started like going on this tangent about how like my dad never, there's a kind of like Beatles or Stones thing.
Yeah.
And my dad is a massive fan of both of them and never entertained any of that for a second. Like I never even remember him acknowledging it was a thing. It was just, it was just like, these both hit for me super. I think gun to his head, Beatles are probably his number one, but he fucking loved the Stones.
But why would anyone ever put a gun to your head?
It's, that you
dude,
like,
tribalism is crazy. Like we fucking get right. tribal over because you see it today in like I know we haven't talked about it on here, but I think I brought it up to you that like I said like. On the internet, I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp or some shit, and I was like, hey, this movie wasn't getting great reviews, but I personally loved it. You know, one of those hot takes that I'm known for. And I was a bunch of people coming in there, and they were like, oh, I thought you were more of a Batman guy. I thought you were like a big Batman guy. And I was like,
yeah, Marvel DC, that's another one for sure.
Yeah, and I was like, I am a big Batman guy. So, like, you have to, if you're a Batman guy, you have to, I'm like, there's room in my day for multiple.
Right.
Caped Crusaders, you know
Star,
what I mean?
Star Wars, Star Trek, another
or
classic
Star Trek.
One.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they're like, "No, I'm a Trekkie."
Right, and I've never cottoned to none of that either.
Me either.
Like, just does the thing hit? Like Marvel and DC, the MCU was infinitely better than the DCEU, and that's an objective fact,
for sure.
But
Aquaman rocked.
But Aquaman hit, and like Batman is still probably my favorite. Overall superhero, you know what I mean?
For sure.
And like the Nolan movies kick ass, and that's so I'm not, but that don't make me a DC guy, but I'm also not a Marvel guy. I was like growing up, Spider-Man was my favorite. I like Spider-Man and Batman both super much. Yeah, right. Yeah, stuff
I like
that
things
hits
that hit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's stupid. People are dumb. Y'all quit being that way.
Don't be that way. So speaking of things that hit for you, does New Year's hit for you? I bet it don't.
No. No,
it don't
like
hit for
it.
Me either.
I've never
go
liked
ahead.
It.
Expand.
Maybe
I
there
either.
Was I think there was possibly a time when I was younger that maybe it hit for me, but like the only reason it would have hit for me is because like I liked drinking anytime and it was a drunk holiday or whatever. But like, dude, I spent the majority of my drinking youth. Like I dated a little bit, but like I wasn't women found me off putting. So like it was all couples going out and stuff. And I didn't really care for that. And also I was broke most of the time. And like, I don't know. It just like after Christmas, I'm just like, I'm done. Like I'm done. Let me not do anything.
I used to go out, but I've never, even when I was in like my 20s and going to bars all the time, I always was more of a dive bar guy than like any kind of nightclub or whatever, that type of thing.
Oh,
like
for
I've,
sure.
My whole life, I've never liked big crowds of people. I can't stand having to wait forever to get a drink. I just hate all that shit. And I always have.
It's pointless.
And New Year's Eve is always like that everywhere you go. Cause it's like that. I remember my old boss at Crawdaddy's used to call it amateur hour every year, which like, and he owned a bar, you know, and he hated it, dude. He hated it. He was like, New Year's Eve is a fucking nightmare. Cause everybody's just shit. People that don't ever go out now, they're all out and they're all hammered as fuck. And it's awful, but
that's
still
a big
did it
point of it too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just like you. It's those people who like they're getting their one night in, and they are just getting cataclysmic with their alcohol intake and going insane. And I'm with you. Like, all of my favorite bars don't exist anymore because I always like bars where only three people were in there.
Right,
and you know, you can't run a business like that. But then even they would be crowded on New Year's Eve, and it would suck.
Yeah. So. It never hit for me, but I still would do it because it's like, well, what else am I going to do? You know, like that's just what
not
you do.
Get drunk.
But you know, I had kids pretty early at 25. And, dude, since we had the boys, my boys are only really just now old enough to, like, stay up till midnight on New Year's if they want to. But, like, so for the past, like, 12 years, I bet I ain't even been conscious at midnight for maybe two or three of them. You know what I mean? Like, I normally just go to bed like any other night and you know, don't worry about it ever since I had kids, pretty much.
it's funny that your kids are now the age where they can stay up till midnight, and you're at the age where it's so hard to stay
up. I don't want to. Yeah, no, like, yeah, it just occurred to me. I was like, oh, they're probably going to start wanting to stay up till midnight, and, you know, you got to let them. But in my head, I'm going to be like, God damn it. Maybe just let them stay up, and I'll just go to bed.
Of course. That would hit harder for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? But no, I'm with you, dude. Like, I too haven't been conscious for a ball drop in for now, and I haven't had kids, but like me and Amber, we've been married, so we're not like, I don't know. She likes the go out type thing, but our December is so busy with, like, we got multiple birthdays and then we got different family Christmases that, like, dude, by the time, like, we're still recovering by December 31st, and I just don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, tomorrow will be a different year and it won't matter. It's not, people have this, like, and I think I used to fall in this somehow where, like, you know, with all the resolutions and we're like, well, if I can just get through this year, you know, like, we'll be having, like, this year's been crazy, like, politically, culturally, and we're like, God damn, I can't wait for this year to be over. And it's like, as if when the clock strikes 12 and the calendar moves into 2024, we just start the fuck over and none of that stuff is even going on anymore. Like, nothing changes. It all fucking sucks. It just means we're a year older and we're going to die quicker. And I do like New Year's Day, though, because my mama makes that, like, stereotypical meal, and that hits for me.
I was going to bring that up. Also, college football hits on New Year's Day and all that stuff. But, okay, so you said stereotypical. Another word for it is traditional meal in the South. Right. You're talking about black-eyed peas?
Black-eyed peas, collard greens, cornbread, like, what is it, ham? You know, like a ham pork hocks, or something.
Or,
ham hocks, yeah.
Is that what it is? Is it ham hock? It's some kind of pork, like smoked pork, right, with the beans and the collard greens.
Some sort of smoked pork. I can't – and it's like – so the black-eyed peas are for luck. The collard greens are for money. The ham hock is for what is it?
Hitting.
Yeah, right, to hit. And then I don't know if cornbread means anything. It's just you slop up all the hits with it. But, like, I love that meal. Now, when I was younger and I would go get drunk on New Year's Eve, that meal hit really hard because that's a fantastic hungover meal.
Hangover meal,
But now, dude, like, I ain't getting drunk on New Year's night. I sleep and then I wake up and I fast until that meal so I can, like, go hard on it.
So, see, I never even had that. Like, my dad had.
Well, you didn't have any food growing up.
We had
these,
like,
greens are going to bring us money and these beans bullshit are going to bring us luck.
Maybe that is what it was.
I've been eating them by the can for years. Ain't got shit.
I don't know what it was because we did Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that, a lot of the same shit most people do. I didn't even know that was a thing until I got with Katie, genuinely. Living in the South my whole life, I never knew it. And, like, first year I was with Katie, she was like, you know, we're in our 20s. We live in an apartment. We went out on New Year's Eve. We get up the next day and she's like, oh, where are we going to? We got to find this. We got to go somewhere. And a lot of restaurants in the South, they sell that on New Year's Day if they're open. She's like, we got to go find this. I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, what? How do you not know what I'm talking about? And then she told me the whole thing. And then she's like, still to this day, you know, she makes it a point. And I mean, I guess now too. I do too, since I've been with her. But, like, yeah, she's like, she won't go that day without eating that stuff. And a lot of times we're in Salina. And, like, I remember one year, Ollie's, the soul food place, they're up, which it hits real hard, by the way. If you're ever in Clay County, and don't be, but if you are, Ollie's soul food joint is fire. And they do the traditional meal, the black-eyed peas, on New Year's Day. And but one year we were doing something else, and they closed earlier than she expected. And she, you know, about flipped out about it and had to, like, call Alderman or,
like,
somebody.
Like, legit
bring
superstition?
Oh, I don't know. She was just like, I just can't not have that. You know? So I don't know. But so obviously that got me to thinking. First of all, I want to say, side note, you mentioned, like, oh, tomorrow's a new day and a new year and a new everything. If I can just get through this year and the way people think about time and stuff. The first thing I thought I wanted to try to talk about was to not just be quite so obvious when it comes to, like, New Year's traditions, which is what I am going to talk about. But before that, I was like, maybe I'll talk about the calendar, right? Because the calendar is a wild thing.
The Gregorian one that we got?
Because it's all, right, it's all when you think about it, it's arbitrary, right?
It's completely arbitrary.
But except it's kind of not because of
the way
the
sun. Well, now
that we made it. But also the way the sun and the moon be. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
nope.
Time is arbitrary, right? But right. like the sun and the moon operate consistently the same way. And like
right.
we go through, you know what I mean? The sun comes up, sun goes down. It spends the same amount of time in the air. Now, it's only 24 hours because we called it 24 hours. But whatever
right.
it is, it's the same every day.
Right.
Every year, there are seasons. Every month, the moon goes through the same phases. And those things are consistent. So like...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Gradually over the years, as we came out of the caves and stuff, we had to find ways to make all that make sense. And that
right.
was a process, you know,
and that was important like,
because of
like
crops if, and ag-
yeah, right. right. Exactly.
Crops,
like you have to be like, no, we do this
harvest. Right. Yeah. You had
yeah.
to keep up with it or you
yeah,
people
because,
might starve.
Like,
you know,
I mean, the reason that 420 is when you smoke weed is because like that's the, you know, April 20th is like it's either the day that's best to plant or the day that's best to harvest. And obviously all of that comes from the moon and shit like that. And so like, yeah, people had to know. So, okay, I'm with you that now it's not arbitrary, but at the, doing it, though, like, no, you're right.
It,
no,
it's, well, it's only, it still is arbitrary in the sense that like, theoretically, it could be 24 months that have 15
yeah.
days. And it, you know what I'm saying? Like the sections we broke it down in are arbitrary, but it's not entirely arbitrary on account of how the sun and the moon be. And
you just reminded
that,
me of,
yeah.
Speaking of like things being arbitrary, my mother's birthday, which after this when this episode coming out, we would have already celebrated, is December 26th, which is, you know, arguably the worst day to have a birthday, because, and she'll attest to this, when Christmas is over, everybody done with all the shit. It's like, all right, you know, we've done the presents, yada yada. And so Mom's day was always kind of like everyone was hung over from Christmas, right? And so I've always tried to make it special for her, but she's just like, well, it's not anybody's fault, it's just hard to give a shit on December 26th. So a couple years ago, I told her, it was after we started doing this show and I'd done an episode on the Queen, and we were talking about how there's whatever the Queen's birthday is, but there's also the royal birthday, which takes
yeah.
place in like June or July, because at one king said, my birthday don't hit for me, I want it to be sunny. And I tell my mom, I was like, why don't we just do that? And she's like, well,
yeah.
I can't, because that's just my birthday is.
Yeah.
It's like, but who gives a shit? We'll just celebrate it this day.
In defense of your mom, I think there's something kind of inherent with humans at this point. It's like it's just been handed down societally and culturally for so long or something. Because one of my sons has a very similar birthday. I don't want to say it's his exact birthday, but it's right in that same ballpark. It's very, very close to Christmas. And I've always felt bad about that. And I've told him, and it does kind of suck every year. It
yeah.
kind of sucks for him. And I hate that. But like years ago, starting when he was like 5 or 6, I started telling him same thing. I was like, buddy, if you want to, we can celebrate your birthday. We can like pretend, you know, explain it to a kid. We can pretend your birthday is in the summertime, right? When like not Christmas, and it don't have to be like this. And even as like a little kid, he never really wanted to do that. Cause I think there's something in it. It's like, but that's not my birthday though. Yeah, you know what I mean? And like, I know that some people do it, but I'm saying your mom and my child have a similar mindset about it. So I think there's something there. It's just like, I guess I kind of get it. I kind of get being like, yeah, but that ain't my birthday. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. Like, I hear you. But
it does kind of suck. You're right.
It sucks,
every year I feel sort of bad about it.
And I would feel even worse if it was my kid. But, like, I've always felt bad for my mom, dude. Like, it's just always bummed me out because, like, you know, she's the goddamn matriarch of the family. She's awesome. She does so much for us. And then on her birthday, she's sitting there like, I know, it's fine. Go home and take a nap. We ate too much yesterday. But, you know, I do know this about my mom. If you took away her right to complain about a thing, that would not hit for her. So,
right. Yeah.
You know.
So, but anyway, about the calendar stuff, I was like, that's a cool thing to talk about. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit. But I was like looking into it and I quickly realized, like, I'm too dumb to just talk about this, right? About
so how, we're giving up.
I thought it was interesting how, like, because used to, with, there's been a bunch of different calendars in all these different cultures over the millennia, and they've mostly had, most of those cultures had a concept of New Year's. This is when the new year starts. Like New Year's as an idea goes back 5,000 years or whatever or more.
Because China got a different calendar, don't they?
They do. Still, they got the Chinese New Year, although I think they've also adopted the Gregorian calendar for like international business
commercial
or whatever
purposes.
Commercial, thank you. That's what I was, yeah, international, right. But yes, commercial purposes. And but you know, in the past they had different calendars. And so like some people's New Year would be on, I remember there was one culture's New Year was on December 25th, Christmas Day, right?
Right.
Which was like Christmas, but not Christmas. It was a different version of Christmas, like that predates Christmas, but they still did a thing on December 25th. And then some of the New Year's were in March and some of them would be in the middle of March. And it's weird to think about like being in the middle of March. And it's like, today's March 15th. Tomorrow's March 16th. But that's the start of a new year.
Right.
You know what I mean? And in my head, I was like, that's all like, that just don't make no sense. But then I was like, well, but none of it really makes sense. It only makes sense to me because it's just what has been ingrained in us over the years. But I wanted to talk about how all that played out. But then again, I started looking into it. And I was like, well, it turns out this is a complicated subject. And I've got 22 minutes, you know, to try to prepare for it. So I audibled on that. But I do think it's an interesting thing for,
well, let's,
you know,
put a pin in it
to think about.
Yeah, right. Y'all should go read about it. No, put a pin in
should.
It and I'll,
well, so
I'll read some more about it.
I know, that, for example, there's the Julian calendar, which Julius Caesar instituted, right? Which is so very close to our current Gregorian calendar. And it existed for like 1,500 years, and then a pope named Gregory changed it to the Gregorian calendar, which is what
we
have now.
He was the cat guy.
But here's – he was?
I think he was the cat guy.
What do you mean the cat guy?
The one that banished all the cats. I'm pretty – of course, there was a bunch of Pope Gregories.
There were. This one's like Gregory the Eighth or something.
Yeah,
so
one of them Gregories is him.
Pope Greg is funny, you know.
That is funny.
Pope Greg, it just the same sort of je ne sais quoi that like
no,
Pope
it does not.
Benedict or fucking, you know, John Paul III. Anyway, and the only difference between the two is that like the Julian calendar, they figured out they were like the year has 365.25 days.
Leap year.
Right. So every fourth year, there's a leap year, which we still do that, right?
Of course.
And this is where I start to get lost a little bit, is that, but after 1,500 years of that calendar, they started realizing that, like, because again, the sun be the way the sun be. After like 1,500 years of that calendar, it's March 3rd or something, and the sun is in its equinox, its spring equinox or whatever. And they were like, well, that ain't right. That ain't supposed to be. And then they figured out, they were like, and that's where Pope Gregory comes in. They were like, you know how we say it was 365.25? It's actually 365.2425.
See, oh, shit.
That's what they said. It was like, it's off by this much. Basically, every 100 years or something like that, you lose a day in the Julian calendar. And after a long time, that fucks you up.
Yeah.
So they changed it to the current version. but that's the only difference between the two. And apparently, the Eastern Orthodox Church apparently they still live on the Julian calendar, I guess. So I don't know if they're like on a slightly different day than us or what. I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing is, it is wild and it is interesting. I'm just too dumb and uninformed to talk about it in depth.
Well, you've just blown my mind a little bit, because like leap year, I've always known like the reason we do that is because technically it's just a touch bit longer. And in my brain, I was just always like, okay, well, like, who gives a shit though? Like, can't we just do this and it's fine? But like, to your point, that would be fine for a couple years, but then after,
but it will get thrown off. Yeah,
after like, I don't know how many years, like keep doing it and keep doing it. And one day July is fucking cold. You know what I mean? And you're like, wait, what the fuck?
Saying, that's what I'm saying about how like,
not arbitrary.
It's not really arbitrary.
Right.
Like again, you know, there's the way we conceive of time and everything is sort of arbitrary, but not entirely on account of the way the sun and the moon be. Like there
is
consistency there. And, you know, shout out to our ancestors for figuring out a system that, made all that work.
Oh,
made it all make sense. Cause that's you know, I wouldn't know how to do it. Tell you that much.
Well, like, okay. So time is arbitrary in so many ways, but like in the sense of like, we've made it be this. So like, look, 6 a.m. means that, like, in terms of like, I'm so glad we've got this system figured out, because like me and you know when to record podcasts. Like, imagine if you were like, when are we gonna do the episode tomorrow? And I was like, when the sun reaches the, you know, whatever. Right. And that would be insane, but like, it's not the ways in which it's not arbitrary, or which it is arbitrary, that so many people still like adhere to it is like, I know so many people who like, if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, no matter what they hungry for, they have to eat breakfast food, even if they don't want to eat breakfast food.
Like, and that is like, weird.
It is weird. Like my father-in-law, who I love, we was on the road the other day and we were at, we were getting breakfast pizza at this place, and he was getting a breakfast pizza, and he goes, he's like, you know, I actually like their regular pizza more, but you know, it's 8 a.m. And I was like, did they not have any of the regular pizza? And he's like, no, they had it. And I was like, well, you just get it. And he's like, well, it's the morning. And like,
I feel like pizza has eased its way into there, meaning like cold pizza. I remember ESPN literally had pizza, that show called Cold Pizza, and it was in the morning. And the whole concept of that was like, you got leftover cold pizza, you get up hungover, you just shove that in your gaping maw, right? The whole like, this is for breakfast. That's all completely arbitrary, but like, it's kind of got me too. There's times where I don't know if you feel this way, but I like, there's certain things, pizza's one of them. There's certain things that ain't breakfast food, but that do seem to kind of hit in the morning specifically. And I don't know why. And for me, leftover pizza and leftover Chinese food. You ever fuck with leftover Chinese food in the morning time, bro?
Who are you talking to?
It goes hard, man. It
goes hard.
But there's other things, though. Like, I wouldn't want to eat like a
tuna salad.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah.
And by that, I mean a seared tuna salad.
I love a tuna melt, tuna salad sandwich, whatever. But not in the morning, you know? So I don't know what makes that be the way. It also is kind of arbitrary. It's like, you know, cake is bad for you. But not in the morning if it's in the form of a muffin that doesn't have frosting on it, or
in the shape of a pan.
You know, a stack of flat cakes. That's a cornerstone of a good start to your day right there. But there's so many things that are arbitrary about how we live, including these traditions. So that's where I want to get back to. We have the tradition of the black eyed peas and the collard greens and all that, and that got me to wondering, like, what are other people's New Year's traditions that we don't know? So I looked them up. I'm going to share some with you. In Spain, as midnight approaches on New Year's Eve, everybody shoves 12 grapes into their mouth. And some people are like, no, you got to get all 12 in there without smushing them, right? And then eat them all at once. But other people are like, no, you can eat them on the way. You just got to eat 12 grapes like back to back to back.
No, that ain't how it is, you dumbass.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And as far as the origin of it, the only thing I can find, it says it seems the tradition started back in 1909 when there was a larger than usual harvest of grapes in Spain. And so they just made up this new thing. It's like, you know what you do on New Year's? You shove a bunch of grapes in your mouth, because they were sitting around like, what are we going to do with all these goddamn grapes? Yeah. And people were like, you know, bueno or whatever. And then they've just done it ever since. Right.
My theory was that it was. So here's where my brain immediately went to. There was some fat sultan, right? and he had shoved a bunch of grapes in his mouth around that time, and someone was like, oh, look at the salt and these fat. None of these accents or words match, but like they were like, oh, look at, and he was like, what? And then he was like, first off, lop their head off for calling me fat. But also, what you don't know is you're supposed to shove 12 grapes in your mouth right now. And then everyone was like, no, you're right. I knew that. And they just shoved 12 grapes in their mouth. And then that became a thing.
So in Germany and Finland, they have a tradition called lead pouring, where you melt a little container of lead over a candle or over a flame or whatever until the lead is liquid. And then you pour that, you know, you drip that into a container of cold water. So it obviously hardens in the cold water and into a weird and random shape. And then they read those shapes, like reading palms or something. The shape the lead forms is meant, or tea leaves. The shape the lead forms is meant to reveal the fate of your year to come, they say. So
those, I feel like they're either, those are like so one way or the other. There's no one's ever gotten like, oh, and your life will be perfectly adequate. It's literally always like, you're going to be famous and have a wonderful life, or, oh, I see the death in you.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah. And our buddies in Denmark, Cho, according to this, what they do on New Year's, it says in Denmark on New Year, it's traditional, and I like this one, to throw plates and dishes against your friends and neighbors' front door. Shatter your plates and dishes against the front door. And the tradition states that if you live in the house, you wake up, the bigger the pile the next morning, the more luck you'll have that year. So it's like,
because you have more friends.
You have more friends and people that are close to it. It's like, it's funny to imagine a Danish person like waking up on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day and opening the door to a clean doorstep and being like, oh no. Or, you know, or herk derk verk. Herk
derk verk derk 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 derk.
Yeah. But, you know.
Or seeing that sad man, you catch him out late at night throwing plates against his own door. You know what I mean? Thinking nobody would see him. And it's just like, oh, God.
New Year's dishes gods or
God,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Scotland, they hold that the first person to cross your threshold of your door after midnight on New Year's Eve is thought to be an omen for the year to come. So the first person that comes
into
your...
my wife again. Christ.
Right. And tradition also holds that the best type of person to guarantee good luck is thought to be, you guessed it, not black, but it's a tall, dark-haired man bearing gifts like coins, bread, and whiskey. It is thought that this dates back to Viking times when a fair-haired stranger showing up at your door never was anything good. It was nothing but trouble.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to tell you, hair being one way or another, I don't want no goddamn stranger showing up at my door any time of night. That's not going to seem like good luck to me. I don't, you know, like,
yeah, especially on New Year's Day. I'm sure that's, yeah. I was calling them strangers, but I'm sure that it's funny to think that they're also like, they've got a dark headed buddy and they're like, hey, you're going to come through tomorrow night. You got to walk through the door. And he's like, got to make all the rounds or something. Right. All his buddies calling, like, I got to go walk through everybody's door tomorrow so things will hit. You know?
And then they've got a blonde headed friend who's like, you just
stay the fuck
away.
Yeah. In Italy and Naples, people throw old furniture out the window to symbolize a fresh start.
We've done that.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it hits. I didn't know it meant anything other than we were drunk in Athens, but, you know, we have done that. So, and my life has been better since.
Yeah, I just think, do you think it's like the men doing it and the next day they're like, you know, get out there and clean all that shit up or whatever? Yeah. Like, somebody got to clean that up, you know, but I guess it's worth it for the good luck. I don't know.
Again, I think this was another case of some dude did it and someone got mad at him and he was like, no, you don't understand. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that becomes a tradition. But yeah, like I feel that way with the, you know, the dishes and all that shit, like all of this, like, can we just all have whatever luck we're going to have and not have to do any cleaning the next day? Cause this doesn't sound fun.
Well, the answer to that is yes. Because that's how luck and the universe actually work.
Right.
has nothing to do with the plates or couches you throw or nothing. It's like, yes, we will all have whatever luck we're going to have next year. And this all has nothing to do with it.
I wonder
but,
if,
you know, it's all in good fun.
I wonder if rolling people's yards on Halloween has similar origins.
Yeah, that I don't know. But I got another one for you, and this one's going to hit for you because it hits for me. In Estonia, right, people are meant to feast 7, 9, or 12 different times on New Year's Eve because these are all lucky numbers. And also, the number of meals you manage to eat indicates the amount of like if you eat 7 meals, that means you will have prosperity and strength for 7 people. If you manage 12 meals, you got prosperity and strength for 12 people. So you got to just eat as much as you can, but in separate settings all throughout that day. And that's something I can definitely get behind. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know Estonia had it like that.
Me either.
They had that many potatoes or whatever. You know, like I'm very ignorant about Estonia. Most of my knowledge about them, which is not the best way to put it, comes from like jokes I've seen on the internet about how much they don't hit. So, you know, good for them.
I've had some Estonian candy before that one of our fans sent in. But like I guess have to know how big a meal has to be to consider
feast. They probably cheated, I'm assuming. Because if I'm it's sure like tradition did. To eat 9 times, they sit down and they're like, half potato, that's one, you know.
Yeah, right. Is that how they sound in Estonia?
One dumpling, that's two. Yeah, right. I think so. No, that isn't right. How they sound in Estonia. But they're a former
Soviet.
They were part of the U.S. They were former Soviet. Deal,
yeah,
right. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Slavic or Baltic or something. It's fun. It does not hit to mix those things up for any of those people, right?
For sure,
it would be hugely offensive. Everything I just said to an Estonian. So if we got an Estonian fan, I'm sorry to you, Olaf. I apologize.
I accidentally swallow a beetle. Eagle. That count as feast.
Yeah, right. Feast number 4. They're going well. Yeah. Another one that hit for me was in Peru. They have a festival called the Takanakui. I'm butchering it. Takanakui festival in Peru, where everybody in the village gets together and just beats the shit out of each other. And that's the whole thing. They just have a fight club at the end of the year. And it's supposed to be like getting all the, you know, this is a tough year.
The purge.
Get it all out. Like you're purging it. Get it all out. And then we all hug it out. And then not tomorrow, a new year starts and we all love each other again type of thing is the idea of it. But you got to go there and just get your ass whipped first, which don't hit for me, but it sure is interesting.
Let me ask you this. And I'm asking for no particular reason. Are all genders involved?
Yes.
And are there... Okay.
I don't think they are co-ed.
Okay. Okay. What? Damn.
But they definitely are all involved, and I say that because earlier on my phone I saw this fucking picture that I wanted to bring up, and now I can't find it sitting here on my computer of this festival. But here it is. Here it is. Okay. Hang on. So I got this pulled up. Let me share my thing with you here. This is one I saw earlier, and it hit for me. Here we go.
You said this was Peru, right?
Yeah, Peru. Can you see that? You see the one on the right? Them mammals, dude, going in.
Finish
that
her.
One on the right, setting the tone, buddy. Look at that.
Goddamn right.
Coming through with the haymaker.
Man.
That's
so, yeah. How do the Peruvians talk?
You know,
more like Spanish?
Mexican-y.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, in American terms. No, I mean, yeah, they speak Spanish. I believe the only country on the continent down there that doesn't speak Spanish, I think, is Brazil, who speaks Portuguese. And the rest of them all speak Spanish.
That's what I was curious about because
French deal going on down there and one of them or something. But anyway, most of them speak
Peru.
Spanish.
Sounds French.
Yeah. No, have you ever heard Segura imitate his mama?
Yeah. That's how they're
She's Peruvian.
She's Peruvian. Okay.
And when he imitates his mom, she sounds, you know, she sounds like Escuela or whatever.
Yeah,
Escuela is the word for school, I think.
Abuela.
Abuela? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, abuela.
I think it's mamaw. Abuela is a mamaw.
Spanish mamaw. Yeah. It definitely is. There was some name I was trying to land on, and I still can't figure out what I was going for. What's the name of the, going back to Family Guy, the Mexican maid character.
Damn it, like, it's something like yes, that. Esqualdo.
Esqualdo, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Esqualdo.
Esqualdo. Consuela, that's the word.
Consuela, there you go. That's a good one.
That's the one I was looking for. Yes, that's a good one. That is the name of that character. But anyway, yeah. So those are fun. But that'll be it for the New Year's stuff. I figure. Well, we got. I told you I have to be out of here in about 40 minutes, 35 or 40 minutes, because I got stuff to do. We got to get ready for a trip tomorrow. So I told y'all we're doing some end of the year cleanup here of our doc, going through some things. We both contribute to this document, but we don't know where each other are coming from. So a lot of these in here are chose because he puts them in here and then just never gets to them, which is fine. Yeah, I forget. But so I,
but they are there.
I look at these a lot and I'm like, I want to know what that's about. And then we never get into it. So I want to find out what some of these are about. So
I'm just going to start at the top. Remember.
You said, you have a note in here that says, talk about Oliver Reed's death during Gladiator and some of the Russell Crowe Ridley script shit. So some of this I may have heard before because I love Gladiator so much. But what specifically are you talking about there? I know Oliver Reed died during Gladiator and he was a legendary drunk motherfucker.
I'll get the script stuff out of the way first because I feel like the Oliver Reed stuff. Actually, both of these are gonna comment on them a lot. But so the script stuff was like, dude, apparently, like so much of the movie Gladiator was not at all written down, and it was just improv from a lot of the actors because like. Ridley Scott had basically, and by the way, I'm going from memory here on something I heard. He'd like blocked it all out and shit and like, all right, we're doing this here and this here, whatever. But like a lot of the script, like it didn't really hit for some of the people. They were like, ah, this is a little, you know, dog shit. And so he gave them opportunities to be like, all right, well, just go in there and you do what you do. So like the famous I am Maximus speech, Russell Crowe just made that shit up. Like
bro.
That was all him. I swear to
not
God.
Not on, okay. He worked on it.
He worked on it. He worked on it. Yes.
That's still super, super rad.
Yeah.
But that,
no, he worked on it himself. Like, yeah, he didn't just like, okay, I'm going to just start talking.
He was like, this is what would hit for me to say right here. And he was right.
And he was fucking 100% right. And I'm sure that it went through different versions. He probably did this like, oh, that's great. Let's work off that. But like, and yeah, apparently so many of the greatest things that were about that movie, like Russell would read his lines and he's like, I ain't saying that shit. No fucking way. And they're like, all right, well just say the shit that you want to say. And so he would, and you know, made the movie hit a lot harder. But the Oliver Reed shit, I too knew that he died, but I had no idea the conditions of his death. So Oliver Reed, I'll be honest with you. I know less about him than I wish I did. Cause he seems like somebody that would be great to talk about on this show. And I will do that at one point.
Because he's one of them old dog, like old Shakespearean British actor guys who was very, like, very respected stoic in that world, but but was also a fucking hard drinking lunatic, right? Like,
legendary booze hound. So much so that, like, you know, Ridley Scott was, they wanted a guy like that because obviously, you know, those are the type of dudes that make these type of movies, like, hit harder. You always have the Shakespearean dudes. And they wanted him, but like they had a condition. They were like, all right, we got to have somebody that's on him at all times to make sure that he's not drunk as fuck during the set, during the scenes. Cause like apparently he would do that. And a lot of people just let him get away with it cause he hit so hard. But like Ridley Scott's like, we're making a goddamn huge budget epic here. And every day we're spending this much money, we can't have reshoots. So Oliver Reed's like, all right, cool. I won't drink while we're filming. But then what would happen was they were doing this like on location. I can't remember where. And right down from where they were shooting, there was this pub. So Oliver Reed's like, I won't drink while we're filming. But the very second that we get done shooting, I'm going to that pub and I'm getting fucking hammered. And apparently he did this like, you know, literally all the time. He becomes friends with all the people down there. And like, it's a bunch of young people who like, I think I heard somebody saying like, and Oliver loved it because like they didn't really know who he was and he could just kind of like be himself. And so he's like wanting to drink all these young people under the table and is because he can just fucking go, dude. And anyways, one night he's down there and he's drinking, and all these people are like, oh, I'll drink more than you. He's like, oh, fuck you, you can't, blah, blah, blah. And he drunk himself to death. he just finished a beer and then was like, I don't think I feel good, and just laid on the floor and died.
Okay, my question about that, and you may not know the answer, but are you like, you know, people can die from alcohol poisoning. You can drink too much and die. But if you're a 70-something-year-old lifelong hard drinker, that would be an insane amount of alcohol to achieve that. Oh, okay, that's what I was about to say. Or was it that it all just caught up to him?
It all caught up to him. Yeah, right. He had a heart attack. And then, like, you know, we all know famously, he had, and it's really a bummer because the way I was hearing it was like that scene where he dies that they famously CGI'd his face into. It was going to go so much harder, you know, were they able to actually have him in it. So that's a bummer. But, like, all in all, movie fucking rules. But I can't even imagine it going harder.
I know. No, one of my all-time favorites. And I've rewatched it plenty of times, but not in a while. But the fact that came out in 2000 or whatever, and they had to, like, CGI his face for a scene because he had died.
Nightmare.
But, like, you can – or, like, it plays, though, right?
Oh, in dude, the movie. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know.
I about to say, me too. And I still kind of don't understand how they did that.
Because, I don't either.
Like, there's been newer movies where they do like a similar thing.
And it don't hit.
And the person looks off. Like, the technology is very good, but it's an uncanny valley thing where they just look off. But I don't remember thinking he looked off in any scene in that movie. You know?
Man, like, I think they only CGI'd him in that, like, literally that one scene where they come scene, to kill him. But like, here's because I agree with you. I could not agree with you more. My only reasoning for, like, why they were able to do it is, A, it's only for one thing, so it's not like you're seeing him a bunch. And B, the lighting was just really dark, and they lit it so dark that it was like you could only, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't need to see much of him. Like, that's the only way that I can explain it, because I could not agree more. Like, I've seen some shit that came out this year from companies that spend billions of dollars on this shit. And I'm like, come on, dog. Like, are you for real? Like, why? But, like, yeah, it just plays. And like I said, the day I heard that and then went back and watched the movie, I was like, well, I'll be goddamned. So, dude, can you imagine what fucking was going through Ridley Scott and all them's brain in 2000? Like,
in 2000, that would be a big deal. Like, this is impossible. Yeah, right. Exactly.
What the fuck, bro? But yeah, they pulled it off. But, like, to me, I was just blown away to know that, like, half of what I consider one of the greatest movies of all time was just improvised as fuck. Which I think is crazy.
That's wild. All right, so next up on the Cho list, apparently Betty Davis stank.
Okay.
Go on.
So, well, there is an accompanying picture below that.
So I saw it.
I was going through Twitter, and I follow a lot of, like, old history film shit, and I saw this
on
Twitter.
Bring it up. Bring up the picture.
Yeah. Please do.
Okay.
Well, and this really hit for me.
You saw this on Twitter.
I saw this on Twitter, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, I must. And I put that note there so that I would hopefully read more about Betty Davis. But here it is. This is a letter from Joan Crawford to Robert Aldrich during the filming of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. This is what Joan Crawford said. August 11th, 1962. Bob, dear, I hope by now you have had an opportunity to talk with Betty about her body odor. It is quite the distraction for me working within close proximity to her. If she refuses to bathe or wear adequate deodorant, I have found myself gagging on several occasions during the filming. Fondly, Joan.
Fondly, Joan.
Fondly.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, I'm not wrong. They famously, like, fucking hated each other, right? Like, they had, like, a massive feud and whatever. So it's like, I feel like you kind of got to take this with a grain of salt to me.
What if the feud started with the stank? What if
possible. I didn't think
about
it that
way. You're thinking feud, then stank. I'm suggesting stank, then feud.
It's funny. Somebody stank so much, you're just like, I hate that bitch. And it's a lifelong fucking grudge you hold against them.
Well,
like,
dude,
she just stank. Goddamn, she stank.
Well, in her defense, someone who stank all the time, that's not the only thing that don't hit about them. You know what I mean? And also, like, Do you get what I'm saying? Because like,
that is generally the church. That's just such a funny thing to say. People that stink all the time, that ain't the only thing that don't hit about them.
Okay, and like, forgive me when if you're thinking that I mean like, you know, oh, poor people that can't afford bathing or I'm not talking about that. Bette Davis was not that person. What I mean is like, you are working in an industry where you're having to work closely with people and you have so little respect for them that you don't give a fuck how you smell. To me, it shows more than just I stink. It's like I stink. And also I don't give a shit if I'm making your working conditions worse because I don't give a fuck about you. So like, ooh, I just farted. But you know what I'm saying? Like she probably was a bitch too, if she's going to stink like that.
So, well, look, it might be Joan that was a bitch. So I just Googled it. I Googled Joan Crawford, Bette Davis feud, and there's a Harper's Bazaar article that goes into the whole thing. We ain't got to go over it all right now. Maybe we could revisit it at a later date because it's a very POA subject. But according to this, the origin of the feud came in 1933 when Bette Davis had her first big, like, starring role coming out. And right when it was about to come out, Joan Crawford and Douglas Fairbanks divorced that day, and it overshadowed
her
starring turn, and that made her not like Joan, and then that was the beginning of it. And then later Joan married a man that Bette had loved and all this, so it was some, you know, some spurned lover shit, and then just a bunch of stuff from there. But so no, dude, according to this, the feud started in 1933. That letter we read was from 1962. So that's 30 years into a long running hardcore feud when she was like, this bitch stank. So I'm inclined to,
so she might not stank as bad.
I'm inclined to give Bette Davis the benefit of the doubt there in terms of stanking. Cause you know, it's like your biggest nemesis or whatever, right, being like, this dude ain't funny. He don't hit. Send like a message to somebody being like, this dude's a fucking hack. He don't hit. He's not funny at all. That wouldn't hold any water coming from somebody that everybody knows hates you. You know what I mean?
Or unless that's why stayed. They hated me. Know. Yeah. No, it, right. Two things could be true, but yes, I'm willing to agree that it's possible she didn't quite stank that bad.
All right.
I want to do a whole I want to do a whole episode that's nothing but hot goss from the golden era of Hollywood, because we could do a whole episode just on the Bette Davis, Joan Crawford shit, because that is tantalizing stuff.
Yeah, we should still do it, and it'll hit hearing us talk about it, but also just a shout out, because I know it hits for you too. You must remember this.
Yes.
Karina Longworth podcast, which is kind of all about that.
It's all about this.
And it's very good.
And definitely where I would go for some of my research. And yes, dude, shout out Karina Longworth. That podcast, you must remember this, is if it's not my favorite podcast of all time, it's definitely in my top five. I listen to, dude, coming to Hollywood to stay with you and stuff, and then walking around Burbank listening to that podcast, just some of my fondest memories. So everybody that listens to this show, you will love that show, and you will also listen to it and then go, oh, by comparison, Putting on Airs fucking sucks, because it's real good.
I mean, we funnier though.
That's right.
Yeah. We dumb and hidden that way. She's right. Very scholarly and studious with her research and whatnot. We just talk out of our butts and in a stupid sounding way.
Talk we need to get her on the show.
Yeah. I mean, that would be incredible. All right, Cho, next one up. Heidi Fleiss, and you wrote in parentheses, include Last Action Hero story. So Heidi Fleiss, what's up with it? You know what's funny? It's like my introduction to Heidi Fleiss, I think, came through Kid Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Map to the Stars, call Heidi Fleiss, and if the price is right.
Then I'll make my bet, boy, and let California
ate. Why they call me a cowboy, baby. Yeah, fucking. Yeah, listen.
One of the greatest songs of all time.
Sure. The man might be. You have your opinions about him at this time. He's one of them that's like kind of been tough, because it's like a lot of the things he has like done, I'm like, I can't. Yeah. But like, I'm white trash and grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I'm not going to fucking front to people like Kid Rock did not hit for me. I'm just not going to do that. Like, he did hit for me. I know he's a fraud. He grew up rich in Detroit and all that shit. And I know
none of that matters.
But I know, but. He used to slap.
I'm saying none of that matters to his talent. Yeah,
right.
Because me and you talked about this in Nashville together, that like, you know, what people always do whenever something like this happens with kid, like a Kid Rock type comes out and says some shit they disagree with, they always go down and like, he ain't even good anyways. Like, he ain't ever even had a hit. Like, and I'm like, okay, guys, you cannot like him all you want. And you can say that none of his new stuff has been good, but my man had an incredible run in the 90s and 2000s. And they were all certified bangers, slappers, and twangers that I fucked with. And like, yeah, I'm not going to be disingenuous and pretend like that's not true. And also, those songs are so important to me in the foundation of my childhood that, like, they go, well, you don't listen to them anymore, do you? All the time.
Oh, I do.
All the time.
So, I've told you this before, and I think I've shared this on the Well Read podcast, but I'll share it again here because it ain't never going to happen for various reasons. But, like, we're making sketches for Comedy Central. One idea I had, which I knew we couldn't do probably because we'd have to get the music rights or whatever, but an idea I had for a sketch was – it was me kind of cleaned up in a Wall Street conference room, right? And the idea was these other Wall Street guys, they were confronting me with the fact that they had found out that I was actually poor white trash, right? I had been faking, so I was no longer welcome. They're like, is this true? You grew up poor, you know, you're a trailer American? Right. And I'm like, so it's like an interrogation scene, and I'm trying to deny that I'm trash. Right. And I'm like, swerving all their questions and all this stuff, whatever. And it seems like it's gone okay. And then they pull out a Bluetooth speaker and they're like, just one last thing, if you don't mind. And they hit play and you hear
the beginning of Ball with the Ba
start. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, I don't know what this is about.
Sweating.
Sweating. Yeah. Fucking description. Like, guys, Vane. What are we doing? Can we just get sushi? What are we doing? Let's go. I don't know why you guys are doing this, whatever. And then it gets to, my name is Kid. And I'm just sitting there about to explode. It's like, Kid Rock. And I flip the table over and my sleeve just flies off. I've got a neck tattoo all of a sudden. I'm just slamming shit everywhere and whatnot.
That's so funny.
If you white trash, you can't not go hard to that song, dude. I don't care.
It's impossible.
It's a white trash anthem, baby. But anyway, Heidi Fleiss.
So Heidi Fleiss, the only reason that Heidi Fleiss is in there is that, like, I just put, like, I know of the whole deal of her being the Hollywood madam and, you know, getting all these like expensive escorts to all these dudes. So obviously I wanted to do a pro show that was just about, you know, her life and that whole deal, because I find it interesting. But the Last Action Hero part, which is a tidbit that I was like, I've got to remember to say this shit, is that so during the production of Last Action Hero, there was Steve Roth, who was like one of the heads at Sony. I don't know if he's still there. I don't know any of that shit. He was one of the heads of Sony, and also I think he was like a quasi-producer on the development of this movie. Anyways, he was named as one of the top dudes in Heidi Fleiss's Rolodex. Like, this motherfucker got more hoes than anybody. And ever since that came out, there was then this rumor that a lot of people on the set of Last Action Hero, like, confirmed, basically, even though he's denied it, they were like, no, that's true. That if you go back and watch that movie, there's so many of the extras in the scenes where Arnold's in, like, his world doing all the shit. So many of the extras were just Heidi Fleiss's prostitutes that Steve Roth had on set because he was just running through them in the trailer. And while they were there, he was like, we need an extra lady to be in this scene. Okay. And so they were just hookers back there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good thing to have around.
Agreed.
Feel like. And matter of fact, I bet that that's not a unique story from Hollywood production history. You know what I mean? It's like, we need some whores. It's like, don't worry. Steve's here. We need some whores. Hey, Steve. And he's like, got you covered, baby.
And they're just like sucking on a dick going, I'm getting double time for this, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's wild how, like, that type of debauchery was just, like, by rampant, all accounts, ever present throughout almost all of Hollywood history, right? It was always until there, whores and drugs, whatever, until we got to Hollywood. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's all corporate and fucking straight laced, and you don't never see no shit like that. Or, I mean, what?
No,
we don't really hit. So, like, right, maybe if you really hit, they're still doing that. But it don't seem like it to me, though.
And
it
also
seems like, it seems like they're all, like I said, they're all fucking, they're all businessy and stuff now.
And now, since Katie's listening, Katie, even if it was like that, we wouldn't get the prostitutes. But we would like to know that they were available to us. It would be nice if, for once, when we were in one of these meetings, anyone said, hey, can we get you a bottle of water or a whore? You know what I mean? Like the old days, that would hit. But yeah, dude, there's no, like, I really did believe, truly, that when we, quote, made it, we were going to show up to these meetings and there was going to be a silver platter of cocaine just passed amongst us. No.
Don't hit. Day late and a dollar short, baby. What are you going to do? Y'all, it's time once again to tell you about one of our favorite sponsors here at POA, Factor. Factor ready-to-eat meal delivery service. That's right. America's number one, in fact. Listen, y'all, I struggle with lunch so much. For somebody that loves to cook, and I do, and I pride myself on what I put together in the kitchen, but at lunchtime, I'm often, and today was no different, I've got 15 minutes to figure something out, get it whipped up, shove it down my gaping maw, and then continue about my day. And it oftentimes don't hit. Today, because we're taking a trip tomorrow, and we were dealing with some slim pickings in the kitchen, today I ate scrambled eggs with turkey pepperoni in it. That's how dire the situation gets for me sometimes. And that is why I love Factor, because they eliminate all that. They give you something that hits to eat. Very simply, easy to prepare, and right there at your disposal. It's been a game changer for me, and I love them. So this bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on these jam-packed days, and that's why you need Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, and they can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all your holiday to-dos. You can cross meal prepping off your list this holiday season with Factor. Skip the meal planning, grocery shopping, chopping, prepping, cleaning up, and get Factor's fresh, never frozen meals delivered to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes. All you got to do is heat and enjoy. Treat yourself to high quality, delicious meals this holiday season. You can choose from 35 plus chef crafted meals every week, which support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences, whether that happens to be calorie smart, vegan and veggie, protein plus, and more wholesome options. Cho, keep it going.
Yeah, well, if you're looking for calorie-conscious options to shove in your gaping maw, then you can do that with Factor. They've got delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. Or do you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best during the holidays? They got protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Factor isn't just for dinner. Count on extra convenience any time of the day with an assortment of 55 plus add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick breakfast items, lunch to go, grab and go snacks, and ready to drink cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. I've been on them smoothies and they go hard. With Factor, you can rest assured that you're making a sustainable choice because they offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production. By God, this December, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Here's what you do. Head to factormeals.com/POA50 and use the code POA50 to get 50% off. That's code POA50 at factormeals.com/POA50 to get 50% off.
All right. Now, this next one I really want to hear about. You've got a link in here to a story, and you've titled the link "Millionaire Who Thinks He Has De-Aged His Wiener." So
wait, we didn't talk about this on here?
I don't think so. If we did, I don't remember it.
When you told me to go back through and refresh myself, I intentionally didn't.
Yeah, it's wild how like that type of debauchery was just like, by all accounts, ever present throughout almost all of Hollywood history, right? It was always until there, whores and drugs, whatever, until we got to Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's all corporate and fucking straight laced, and you don't never see no shit like that. Or, I mean, what? No, you know, we don't really hit. So, like, right. Maybe if you really hit, they're still doing that. But it don't seem like it to me, though.
And
it seems like they're all, like I said, they're all businessy and stuff now.
And now, since Katie's listening, Katie, even if it was like that, we wouldn't get the prostitutes. But we would like to know that they were available to us. It would be nice if, for once, when we were in one of these meetings, anyone said, hey, can we get you a bottle of water or a whore? You know what I mean? Like the old days, that would hit. But yeah, dude, there's no, like, I really did believe, truly, that when we, quote, made it, we were going to show up to these meetings and there was going to be a silver platter of cocaine just passed amongst us. No.
Don't hit. Day late and a dollar short, baby. What are you going to do?
All
right. Now, this next one I really want to hear about. You've got a link in here to a story, and you've titled the link, Millionaire Who Thinks He Has De-Aged His Wiener. So,
wait, we didn't talk about this on here?
I don't think so. If we did, I don't remember it.
When you told me to go back through and refresh myself, I intentionally didn't click that one because I was like, well, we already did that one. Okay. I didn't look it up, but off the top of my head, there's this like tech billionaire type dude. Click that link and start pulling some shit up while I'm talking. He looked like, in my opinion, he sort of looks like Andy Serkis, like as Gollum, but if Gollum was a person, more of a person. You remember the old scenes in Lord of the Rings before Gollum went full Gollum? He sort of looks like that a little bit.
I'll show the people what he looks like here. Because he is wild looking. You're right. If y'all can see that, that's
millionaire
biohacker Brian Johnson, who's 46 years old, claims he has reverse aged his penis by 15 years. Quite the feat. But yeah, look at him. He does look like an elf, but like an elf that don't hit, kind of.
Yeah, and there's
like
more.
Like an elf that has a drug problem. That's what he looks like.
Yes, and there's more pictures of him not hitting also. But if I can remember correctly, what he's been doing to, he's been trying to de-age himself overall, period. And the way that he's been doing it is like exactly how the QAnon people think that like Tom Hanks and them be doing it, which is like, I think he's like getting blood transfusions with his younger son or something.
He has done that, but he also is applying electric shock therapy to his own dick and balls.
That's right.
He's used electric shock therapy to rejuvenate his genitals, but he also has swapped blood with his teenage son. No, you're right about that.
Yes, and through shocking his dick, he claims that he has reverse-aged his penis 15 years, which, like, dude, I don't really understand. Like, to me, my dick's pretty much looked the same for a long time. Now, like, the hairs and, like, my balls maybe, like, look a little bit older and stuff, but, like, I never thought that I would care. Like, the only thing that you should be concerned with your penis as you get older is, like, do it still get up? Or, like, maybe you want to make it bigger, but, like, I've never once considered, like, man, one day my dick is going to look old. Because, like,
so, to be fair to this lunatic, the way I'm reading this is his whole thing with it is kind of in agreement with what you just said, which is when he says he's de-aged it, what he means is like he has said that his goal is to have the erection of an 18-year-old.
You so can like, take a pill. It's fine. They hit.
But, you know, I guess he says everyone should know these three things: how much you weigh, how fast you're aging, and the duration of your nighttime erections. That's his philosophy. So he hooks his dick up to all these sensors every night, and they measure his erections throughout the night. And did you know that, like, you know, like you wake up with a boner or whatever? Did you know that, like, while you're asleep, your dick is working out all night long? Do you know
that's what I've heard? Yeah, what I've heard.
Like, the reason you wake up with a boner sometimes is because, like, when a man is asleep, his dick is just cycling through hard and flaccid. So your dick's in the gym doing reps while you're in bed every night.
That's why I always go to bed on my stomach, but wake up on my back. That makes so much sense.
You just kickstand yourself.
Yeah, and I will say this, like, aside from the blood and the electroshock to his nads, I did notice that, like, once I started working out more and eating better, I started waking up rock hard more often. So I don't really think there's a lot to it, you know. And, like, well, if you have ED, you've got ED. Like, you just can't do anything about that. But, well, I thought it had more to do with him with adrenochrome, if I'm being honest.
Right.
I don't care for him.
No, he's like a character from like fucking Silicon Valley or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a caricature of a weird ass tech bro millionaire.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Also, it classified, and I don't have the answer here, just in the article that, you know, you put in there, but they call him a biohacker. The fuck is that?
Oh, that's like, hold on.
Yeah, that don't sound like it hits. He's doing,
what's he doing?
He's like, gene modification, making X-Men and stuff in the lab. What's he doing?
Yeah, because I was about to say, like, computer hacking, that's like, obviously, you know, going through their encoding programs and stuff. But biohacker definitely, to me, sounds like someone who is, modifying genetic code to, like, I don't know, fucking, what would that, like, what do those people... I feel like those people, if they were biohacking stuff, like they would try to create an army of people that like the part of their brain that seeks pleasure is completely turned off. That way they can just be at the factory doing all their things. So I don't like when dudes like that start playing God.
Yeah, I don't either. So I just want to show y'all one more picture of this dude. Cause what the fuck? This is how wild this motherfucker is. Tell me when you can see this. You see this picture? So
yes. Oh, is that his daddy?
That's him, his dad, and his son. Three generation of dudes there rocking wife beaters and looking sexily at the camera while embracing each other.
Mandelbaum.
What?
You don't remember Seinfeld?
No, I don't remember that one. I'm sorry.
That's gross.
How do you land on that as a... you know, family pictures option. They also look like vaguely wet or something to me.
They look wet. I was about to say they all look moist. Wet.
Yeah, they look moist. Yeah, not full blown, not soaked, but they look moist. Which
moist
don't hit for nobody, dude. I mean, like,
no moist. You know what's like so funny is like though, dude, when they posed for that picture, that motherfucker in the middle was like, everyone's going to think we are so hard, dude. Like, we're the hardest dudes on earth. Like, look at us. This is peak male alphamism or whatever the fuck. Like, that whole scene with all them types who were just, like, trying to be the manliest man or, like, the peak physical whatever the shit that dude is. It's like, motherfucker, just eat goddamn carrots and drink water and shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So I say this is the last one. Let's do this one, then we'll do air mail if you want to.
Okay.
All right. So you put a link in the doc to this picture, which I'm bringing up now, which is on Instagram. Big old boy. If y'all are only listening, it's a oil painting of a Victorian era big old boy, like my 600-pound life type big old boy, but in oil painting form, which is rare. I feel like you don't see that very often.
Why
this is
oil.
Noteworthy. The caption of it says, this is from the Instagram account History Photographed.
Great caption account.
Says, Daniel Lambert was at one point considered to be the heaviest person in human history. At the age of 18, Lambert began working as a prison guard and was much respected for his ability to befriend and help rehabilitate many of the prisoners. He once walked 7 miles, that's weird, from Woolwich to the city of London with much less apparent fatigue than several middle-sized men who were of the same party. In terms of strength, Lambert was to easily carry 560 pounds and had the ability even to stand on one leg, some people say. How about that? Quite the feat this man could stand on one leg. Yeah, one leg's the size of a fucking redwood trunk. It might help a little bit, despite being that big. Anyway, in 1805, Lambert decided to put himself on exhibition, good call, and charge people a shilling to visit him in his home at 53 Piccadilly. He worked 5 hours a day, talking to nearly 400 daily visitors on a variety of topics concerning dogs and sports. Lambert also enacted a rule that everyone who entered his home had to remove their hats. Don't hit for Cho. When one visitor reportedly refused to remove his hat, even if the king were present, Lambert said, "Then by God, sir, you must instantly quit this room, as I do not consider it a mark of respect due to myself, but to the ladies and gentlemen who honor me with their company." Lambert passed away suddenly in 1809 at the age of 39. Not that sudden.
Ripe old age for a fat fuck.
His coffin was so large it needed to be pulled by 20 men. And at the time of his death, he weighed 739 pounds, bro. You weighed 739 pounds in 1809?
That's like, dude, 1,200
that's like
weighing today's.
1,400 pounds yeah. right now. Yeah, that's
with the,
wild,
with the fat
bro.
Fuck exchange rate, that is absolutely right. insane.
The also, literal inflation rate of mankind. Yeah, right. yeah.
I do. I think I loved about that where the thing where he put himself on exhibition was like just the him being so self-aware of just like, please absolutely. come gaze upon how much yes. I do not hit.
Exactly. Yeah. Come one, come all. Oh, yeah. Gaze upon how much I do not hit.
You're not going to believe
Marvel
this shit.
That the extent to which I do not hit in all dimensions, in all directions, this is how much I do not hit. I agree. It's like, it's all like he was working as a prison guard. He had various jobs and stuff. And he was just like, I bet people would pay me to not hit, you know, or people would pay to see me not hit, you know. And it's yeah. also like, I wonder what he was doing. Well, they said, I guess they said he sat in there being massive, but also right. conversing with people yeah. intelligently on things such as dogs and sports. He's like, dogs, you ever eat them? You ever done that? Yeah, they hit.
Sports, you never played them? Me neither.
You never played them? this ain't gonna hit for people.
I know. I'm sorry.
That okay, I mean, dude, this okay, is, dude. This is wild. This dude
739 pounds
in 1809. Come on, yeah. man.
Again, that's 1400 pounds with the exchange rate. And I think there's a certain point where we all go, all right, now, god damn.
Yeah.
But dude, all right. in order, like, hold on now. Before the airmail, as we were talking about with the exchange rate of the fat, let's break down why that's actually so impressive. Like today. You got Mountain Dew. You got all these teeny tiny candies that are full
Oreos.
Of calories.
Right.
That you can, like, if you eat a sleeve of Oreos, like, you're not going to, that's like, you're yeah. getting
Blooming
not that
onions
full.
Onions and
yeah, right.
shit.
But,
right.
like, you're getting not that full from 2,000 calories. Whereas right. back then, 2,000 calories.
How many pheasants did this motherfucker yeah, have to eat?
I know. Well, that's what I'm
to
saying.
Get to 800
pounds. He didn't have saturated fats. Like, god damn, dude. Like,
bro.
It's insane. I mean, respect.
Yeah.
All right. Airmail. First one here. Subject line. Corey, you were wrong.
Hits.
Cats. Cats are attracted to babies' mouths because of the sweet milk smell, so they do get close to babies' mouths. Say my name or don't. All right, I was wrong on why that became a housewife thing, but I'm not wrong in the sense that babies don't actually murder or cats don't actually murder babies. But yes, I'll admit to being wrong on that. Okay, subject line: dumb ex-girlfriend. Trey and Corey, I get such a kick out of hearing Trey tell stories about his dumb ex-girlfriend. For those of you catching up, that's Bag of Shit Amber. They remind me of a fella I dated about 15 years ago who was dumb as a box of hair. Funny enough, his name was Trey, too. I thought I could get over him being an idiot because he was hot as a $2 pistol. There's something kind of cool about being 6'7" and dating and being a 6 or 7 and dating a 9. Plus, he thought I was brilliant and that helped. But when he started asking mm-hmm. questions like, California is so long, it's in the North and South. Who did they fight for in the Civil War?
I mean, you can track his logic
Come
there.
On.
Come on.
Yeah. and back to when Bridge to Nowhere was a hot topic, why the hell does Sarah Palin want a bridge to Norway? Nobody wants to go to Norway that bad. I just knew
I don't know much, but I know Norway don't hit.
She said, I just knew then I couldn't take it any longer. Anyway, I appreciate how well y'all represent all of us who grew up in, you know, Southern families and communities. Yada, yada, yada. Love seeing all three of you in Charlottesville a couple years ago and Trey in Winchester, Virginia earlier this year. Thanks, Mandy. Well, thank you, Mandy. I assume that would hit when I saw
fire airmail. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Subject line, to kill or not to kill a squirrel. Dear Corey and Trey, my best friend from childhood just called me crying about her dog shaking the shit out of a squirrel. She said she laid it down to die peacefully in her front yard. Poor thing probably gurgled to death, but that is beside the point.
gurgled to death.
It's a hard way to go.
That's great.
I agree with Corey that animals feel love to an extent because it's probably brain chemicals we don't understand. Anyway, the idea of a 40-year-old crying over the death of a squirrel cracks me up. I would definitely be more concerned about the health of said dog. Remember, please, that squirrels carry the flea that carries the bubonic plague, and there's been multiple cases of that in the squirrel world up in Canada. Love you like pork chops. Jen Gay. Yes, that's my name, and you can say it. All right. God damn. Subject line. How much time we got left here? Okay. I'll do this as the last one. Subject line, Southern accent versus British accent. You can use my name. This is Alexis. I grew up in small town Virginia. My good friend Sarah grew up in Wales and England, moving to the States as a teenager. About 15 years ago, Sarah was staying with me when I first heard her British accent. It only came out when she spoke with her mom, who still lived in Wales, on the phone. I was blown away as she sounded like a completely different person. Fast forward a few days, and I had a phone conversation with my brother while Sarah was in the room. After I hung up with my brother, Sarah turned to me and said, "At least when I talk to my family, I sound smarter." It was absolutely hilarious and true. I hadn't realized how much my accent would change when talking to family. Yeah. I love POA. I finally caught up after starting at episode 1 earlier this year. Skew, keep it up. I lied. That's not going to be the last one. I have to get to this one because the subject line. Subject line, hitting Jason Statham story.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, fellas? I'm going to try this again because I do think this story would hit for y'all, and I'm pretty sure it got lost in the mix last time I sent it. I got behind on listening to my story, so I'm a little slow on this one, but in the Barbie finale, Jason Statham came up twice, once for not being on Amber's daddy list and another for being a hot bald guy in general, and I had to chime in. When I was getting batted about at the bottom of the food chain in Hollywood, I worked on a movie that was Jason's first U.S. film. He was essentially an unknown and had never done any martial arts. His background, I don't know if you know this, was that he was a professional, maybe, diver. So he was extremely good with body control and technique, just not when he was pretending to kick someone's ass yet. Jet Li's fight guy on the show, Corey Nguyen, and his crew trained Jason, and I remember him being super excited to do it and Nguyen being really impressed with how fast Jason was picking it up. The other unusual thing about Jason in that movie was that his inherent sexiness had yet to be established, so they didn't think this nearly bald head hit. So they had to spray paint hair stuff that they would use to fill out the stubble on his head to make it look like he still had a full head of hair. He was a really good sport about it, but you could tell he was kind of embarrassed when the frickin' spray can came out and they would do touch-ups between takes. I'm going to also take this opportunity to put on my bragging hat for a second and tell y'all that I taught Jason Statham how to use email. He knew I had a cool tech on me while I was on the job. And one day we were shooting and he saw me on my laptop and got all giddy and was like, "Hey, come with me. You got to see this," and pulled me off towards his trailer. He invited me inside and sat me down at the little banquet dining table thing and put a new Mac laptop in front of me. It was his first computer and he could not have been more excited about it. He opened it up and then stood back a couple steps and waved his arms and said, "Make it do something." Anyways, my brain cleared of any and all actually interesting things I could show him, and I was like, "Do you have an email address?" He gave it to me, and I sent him an email from my laptop, and he opened it up on his and was even more giddy. It was just about the cutest thing I've ever seen. Coincidentally, Ki Hu Kwan, who just won the Best Actor Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once, also worked on that film. He was behind the scenes as Corey Nguyen's fight coordinator and was going by Jonathan Kwan. He, too, was about as nice a person as you could ever hope to meet. Mm-hmm. He and I hung out all the time on the set whenever the fight crew was doing their thing, and he even at one point took my husband and I out to his favorite Chinese restaurant for dinner just because we hadn't been there and that he was that excited to share with us. Not gonna lie. Cried when he won the Oscar. It doesn't happen often enough in Hollywood, but I'm so glad it happened for those two guys and they made it in the big leagues. They're two of the good ones. Kind of like y'all. Love y'all, Amanda Montgomery, aka Mama Montesaki. Well, that Mama was sweet. Montesaki. I'm always glad to hear when people that hit for me.
Now, I never met Jason Statham, but I have met Ki Hu Kwan, you know, if and he's
didn't you dust him in poker?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. Which was super rad. I hadn't played. So yeah, I got to get out of here, but we'll finish it with this story, 'cause I don't think I've told it on here. Went to a Hollywood poker game like 3 years into living here. It was like the guy that owns the law firm or the lawyer that represents me invited me or whatever. And I was over there, and it was with like just the most random people. It was like a dude from the new Full House reboot, the punter for the Seattle Seahawks, me and fucking Ki Hui Kwan, who hadn't had his comeback yet or whatever. And, and I was texting you guys this. I was like, this dude is awesome, because he's so awesome. He's not just like a nice guy. He's fun and great. He's just a good time. Like immediately, he just like lights a room up. He's just awesome dude. And we were playing poker against him, and like we're maybe five hands in, and I had pocket kings, and I went all in trying to just buy the pot early on, you know, like pre-flop. And he called me, and he went all in too, and he flipped him over, and he had pocket aces, right? And I was like, holy shit, I'm fucked. This is Raven. Of course this happened. And then on the river, I hit my king. I hit another king and knocked him out. And bro, I played poker all the time in college, because that was when poker was huge and I loved it. I hadn't played in probably 7-8 years at this point. I was back in. I was like, I remember why this shit rules. This is awesome. But he congratulated me. Like, it didn't bother him at all. He was just he was like, that was incredible. What an incredible, incredible draw. Yeah, that was wild. So, I knocked him out of a Hollywood poker game once a few years ago, and he couldn't have been cooler about it. But yeah, I didn't cry when he won the thing, but I was super happy to see it, because I've loved that dude ever since. That's the only night I ever hung out with him, but I became a huge fan and have been since then, because he's an awesome guy. So yeah, good for him.
Super hits to hear. Well, thank y'all for listening. Like, subscribe, download, do all the shit. Tell your friends, leave us a 5-star review, and Trey, tell them about your stuff that you do.
Coming up in 2024, I've got new tour dates for Yuns. I think the first one's in Charlottesville, then I'm going to Florida, and then on from there. So just go to TreyCrowder.com and check those out, and come and see me. Also at TreyCrowder.com, you can get me and Cho's book around here and over yonder. If you haven't gotten it already, you should. What are you waiting on? Go ahead and get it. But yeah, that'll do it for
that. That's right. Also go to BonusCorey.com. You can hear the Christmas story that I did. I know it's a little after Christmas, but if you didn't hear it, you can check it out, and it's a romping good time. You can also just be a part of all the cool things I do, essays, podcasts, all that stuff. BonusCorey.com. Love y'all, and stay fancy, motherfuckers.
Skew. Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.